was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on.
Welcome back, my friends, to the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. You technology buffs have not gotten your fix tonight. My apologies for that, but we'll see what we can do about that. I received this email from a woman who said, I've been assisting a woman who has been in jail in, she mentions a state, for almost a year, on a contempt of court charge because she wouldn't produce her books and records for IRS. IRS wants, and then there's a figure for a number of hundreds of thousands of dollars, or her books and records. She has filed the BIC Lite with, that was sort of an interim technology, with, let's say, 50 million worth of promissory notes to each of four respondents, and has to go to court again, and a date is mentioned here coming up over the next couple of weeks. She's concerned about what to say in court so that she won't undo any of her process. Would you please address this on the air so that she can hear your take on this? Let's see what else. Thank you so much for all you do to assist all of us drowning in this corrupt judicial system. Imagine there are thousands of people who feel that same way, that they're drowning in a corrupt judicial system. So much of our young male population is in prison or has experienced jail, at minimum county jail, as Sam was saying on the phone. It's a real atrocity that will probably never be recognized until the end of the American empire, which shall come at some point, as all empires eventually wind down. It took Rome hundreds of years. It would probably take the United States hundreds of years, but all empires eventually come to an end. And it's a good question as to what do you do when you've put all this in and you're planning on attending the hearing. We had a woman, a middle-aged woman, arrested this week, as I mentioned, on Friday, National Arrest Day, of course. That's why they schedule those contempt hearings on the weekend, on Friday, because I love holding people over the weekend. These learned, honorable judges in their black robes who expect to be prayed to. Well, the first thing is you have to know who you are before you go in there. I had advised that that woman attend because of the stage that her case was in, and the woman who got arrested, and she decided she didn't want to attend, and take it from there. I also told her that if she didn't attend, they would probably issue a warrant for her arrest, and that then she would have her opportunity. And what is that warrant for the arrest? What is the attendance at the hearing? It's just an opportunity to take apart another judicial delusion, another judicial abomination. And when you're under the gun like that and you haven't had really a chance to prepare for it, then I suggest that you might want to follow the sorts of procedures that I outlined on the January 27th, 2008 program, and then download the Manual of Freedom and the writs that we made available. Those are primitive writs. We have things more sophisticated, but they would suffice for someone who doesn't have much experience. They, at least they would be proportional to their experience. Folks, that music means we'll be back in 3 minutes, and then we'll give an answer to this question as to what I would do if I was in that woman's position at this contempt hearing. Don't go away.
Looked up lately? Have you seen those crisscross trails that hang in the atmosphere long after a plane has passed over? Some are chemtrails, and they may be causing your health problems. It's a fact. Various governments, including the U.S., have been spraying chemicals in our upper atmosphere for years. Chemtrails is a very real cause of many health problems, like pain, respiratory, or immune deficiencies that appear seemingly out of nowhere. But now, your chronic illness can be helped. Introducing ChemBuster. ChemBuster is a natural remedy designed to combat and break through health problems caused by chemtrails. ChemBuster.us has more information and a special internet-only offer of just $17 per bottle. That's ChemBuster.us. Try ChemBuster yourself. Recommend to your sick friends and relatives, and after saving $2 on your first bottle, you'll save an additional $7 on your second bottle. Visit ChemBuster.us for important information and a special internet-only offer. That's ChemBuster.us. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, friends. Well, before the break, we read an email from a woman who would like to help a friend figure out how to present herself in court after she's been in jail for a year on a contempt of court charge because she wouldn't produce her books and records. Well, the first thing to remember is it's not about books and records. It's about a commercial charge. And she should have long ago offered to pay it. And we don't just pay, we put the onus of the payment on the recipient. You've been paid. Now, if you don't post the funds to the correct account, I'm going to have the notary certify the misappropriation, certify the theft of funds in the special maritime jurisdiction, and then we're going to go ahead and issue a corrected 1099 OID to start, which will certify your personal liability for the full face value of the payment. To replace, of course, the 1099 OID original issue discount 1099 report. Basically, it's reporting who has the withholding, who is holding the funds. And we're going to replace the one that reported that the court is holding the funds with one that indicates that you're personally holding the funds. That's one of the early initial strategies for enforcement. But when I'm asked a question like this, the first thing I like to do is evaluate the experience of the party very briefly. Excuse me.
because it is not the information or the knowledge or the technology or paperwork that will make someone successful. It is the party themselves. You've heard me say that dozens of times, but it's absolutely the truth. So what's appropriate for me or appropriate for the guy up the street might not be appropriate for this gal or the next party to come along. Winston used to tell a funny story about going into court, and I forget exactly what he told the judge, but it was pretty outrageous, and that settled out the case. And then the next guy came along and got sentenced. They hauled him away in handcuffs for contempt for doing the exact same thing. There was a certain amount of humor in the story when he told it, but it really is a pretty dark comedy when we consider it, because what's right for one person is not right for another. The first thing is, so it depends on your experience, but the first thing is for everybody that you should not be arguing jurisdiction. And that's something that you can take from that last call from Sam. He argued jurisdiction. The judge said, this conversation's over. You're going to jail. I'll chill you out, then we'll come back in and rehold this conversation. And they do that for one purpose and one purpose only, to get you to sign the appearance bond. So you can cut it short and ask, well, Judge, what about an appearance bond? Now, that's not necessarily appropriate in this particular case, but in general, you can say, what about an appearance bond? Would you consider that? Fine. Let me see it. And when he sees it, if he handed it to me, I'm going to ask for a pen, and I'm going to turn it over and write on the back, warrant for the arrest of your bond. Issuing a warrant. Now, that may sound like nonsense, or it may sound like you need Big Brother or the Provost Marshal to enforce it, but let me tell you, you may want to rent the movie, Open Range, I believe is the name, starring Robert Duvall and Kevin Costner, and jump ahead about halfway through to the scene in the luncheonette in the western town when they are leaving the luncheonette to get away from the marshal to not have an incident, and this corrupt marshal hops off a stool and says, hang on a minute, I got a warrant for you boys. And Duvall points his shotgun or his rifle at him and says, and we got a warrant for you, Marshal, and it wasn't drawn by any tin star who's paid by a local ranch. It was drawn by a real man. It was drawn by a living man based upon, and then he goes through the crimes that the guy committed. A living man. It is still our court, even though they'll do everything to convince you otherwise. So if you get into arguments with them, you're playing into their hands and you go into their house. But if you wish to take a sovereign approach, don't do it by arguing jurisdiction. We do it by holding authority, because the issue is authority, not jurisdiction. I would suggest that most of these cases can be resolved with flat-out commercial procedures. We've had great, we haven't had 100% success, but we've had great success across the country. And sometimes it takes a while for the success to be witnessed. Excuse me. Because sometimes you have to make your presence known to one party before his or her replacements get the picture. This is a process that is ongoing nationwide, and little by little the courts are learning who we are, what we're capable of doing. So in a case like this, where $50 million worth of promissory notes have been tendered and all cases are settled, number one, I would send in strong paperwork to make it known what I'm planning to do and what their culpability is personally if they don't comply. And I would stick to that line of commercial settlement. I would stick to the counterclaim. If you're in the court, then you may as well, and you're not holding court, you don't feel competent to do that, and I would say 80 to 90% of the people I speak to do not feel competent to do that, then I would stick to the counterclaim. Is this court not in possession of full payment, and has it not been notified that these accounts are settled?
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you did say you're a judge, correct? Now, what am I asking him when I say that? What's his competency level? You are in possession of payment instruments, are you not? Now, if you've planned this out, then hopefully you have something in your arsenal beyond a payment instrument, and that would be the notary certification that they're holding the liability. So depending upon where you're at in these situations, you can jump to the stronger and stronger vehicles that are at your disposal. And those resources might include a surrender of the successor surety. So if there's a denial of the paperwork, then you have to bring them back to the paperwork. I'm standing on the counterclaim here and see what they say. It's best to be done by questions also. Are you not in possession of the counterclaim? Do you have any questions about the counterclaim? Are you dishonoring the counterclaim? For and on the record, is this court dishonoring payment? Now, that's the easiest place for a law merchant to go. And there are many judges out there who will say, this is nonsense, I'm not accepting it. And once they say that, you have them where you want them. Because you can now start asking them what it is they want of you. Are you ordering me to pay in any particular type of currency? Now, that puts them in a difficult scenario. Because if they say yes, your next question is, all of you listening to my voice, what's the next question? Take a guess. Is, are you ordering me to pay in anything other than gold and silver? Are you ordering me to violate public policy? So if they make any specific request, that's where I would go as a law merchant. Are you ordering me to violate the law? Are you ordering me to pay in anything other than gold and silver? Remember, what does the Constitution say? I hate to come back to that fraudulent document. No state shall coin anything other than gold and silver. If you're at the federal level, you can ask him if he's ordering you to pay in a particular kind of currency in violation of public policy. And see where that avenue leads. That very often will get them to wake up and think about the position they're putting them in. For and on the record, are you ordering me to violate public policy? And if you don't answer the question, then let the record show that you have defaulted on the question, and the answer is yes. I would be in there with observers, and each of them would have two items. They would have an instant affidavit, already signed, ready to go. All they have to do is check off the blanks. And they would have, and I would have, a couple of different criminal complaints. And we have criminal complaints ready to go for such things as theft of funds in the special maritime jurisdiction. And so one might head in that direction. If he says, no, this is nonsense, we're not accepting this instrument. Excuse me, are you refusing to apply the payment to the account and confessing that you're going to be holding the liability yourself? Are your pockets that deep that you wish to hold the liability in this case? Or if he says something along the same line that you need to pay, I'm going to hold you in contempt unless you produce the books and records, then you come right back to the same commercial issue. That's fine. I accept the contempt for value. What's the charge? I have payment right here. Oh, we're going to send you to jail. Well, would that be criminal contempt? Because if it's criminal contempt, the first thing you're going to have to do is require him to step down, because you're going to call him as a witness in a criminal contempt case, plus you're willing to pay the charge on the spot. We'll pick this up, folks, when we return in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
I woke up on the cement floor this morning.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. So, we were discussing a number of the different ways one could handle a situation like this, and I don't mean to jump all over the place. I really do not know the experience of this party, and so, nor the procedures that have been undertaken other than this $50 million in promissory notes. So I'm trying to cover a lot of different bases depending upon what one might encounter. So we have payment and we have evidence of payment. If we don't have a certificate of non-response, at minimum we have a certificate of service with a sample of the certificate of non-response that's coming. Am I to understand that you are declining payment under public policy? For and on the record, is that your position? Because if it is, am I to understand that you are willing to accept the liability attributed to the debtor? When you ask questions like that, you put them in a very difficult position. You're beyond their expertise, and now that's when the tables tend to turn and the playing field gets altered. And you ask questions like that knowing that you have a wealth of other procedures that you can bring to bear as well. That's why the studying comes into effect, really understanding what you're doing and understanding the procedures that you've been doing and the procedures that you intend to do and preparing for the hearing as well. And depending upon his answer, if they don't answer, then you answer for them. And if that answer by way of their default is repugnant, then that's when we consider removing that judge. I certainly would not let a party in my court that doesn't deserve to be there by virtue of his confession to holding liability, to insurrection, to treason, or things of that sort. If he doesn't answer the question as to whether he's willing to accept the liability of the debtor, I might turn around, look him in the eye, and say, fine, then I am hereby declaring for and on the record that you are the successor surety for all liabilities previously attributed to the debtor. You're going to have to step down because you are now commercially and corporeally, excuse me, folks, corporeally responsible for all of those liabilities. Are you sure you want to go down that pathway? And by the way, I'm going to ask these 10 people behind me to swear out affidavits here and now and file them with me for attachment to this criminal complaint that you are now holding all liability. You're responsible for the liabilities attributed to the debtor. Step down, sir, so that you can stand trial. That's really the position you're putting him in when you are offering to pay and he's declining payment. And if you know who you are and know how to hold your position based upon commerce, then he's not going to find it so easy to walk away from that liability. You might look at the judge and say, would you please ask the prosecutor if he has a 1099 OID on these charges? And they may look at you like you're nuts. Do you have a 1099 OID on the charges? I don't know what you're talking about. Fine. And does anyone here have a 1099 OID or a claim against me? For and on the record, let it show that no one has a claim. Our business is concluded. I'm leaving. Have a nice day. And at that point, I would walk right out the door and don't let anyone stop me other than perhaps a warning. And by the way, if you bring any of your commercial process against me personally, having been notified on the record of the distinction between myself and the debtor and that you are the successor surety, be aware that the co-claimant fee for such impairments has been established at $50 million per offense, and I will bill you for it, and if you refuse to pay, I will file the appropriate paperwork and issue a warrant for the arrest of your bond to the tune of $50 million, and I'll send IRS out to collect it within 4 months, and if you don't believe me, ask the man over there at the other table, and I will stand by that sworn commercial affidavit, and you won't be sitting on the bench. I'd prefer not to go down that pathway. It's your choice, sir. We can either do this under the rules of public policy or we can do it under my rules. Again, that might not be appropriate to everyone. Excuse me. As you can tell, I'm a little under the weather tonight. I have been working extremely hard on the materials and the cases that we're going to bring to bear at the Law Merchant Retreat. He may make some threats. He may order you, as he did in Sam's case, to sign that paperwork or I'll send you to jail. Excuse me, are you ordering me to present myself as a United States person falsely and against my will for and on the record? Are you enticing me into slavery? I want a direct answer to the question. Are you attempting to coerce me, excuse me, into voluntarily surrendering the state constitutional protections, and that would vary from state to state. You would be going back to the original state constitution, I might add, not one of the corporate constitutions after 1861, to voluntarily surrender the state protections against casting witness against myself so that you can force the living biological property that belongs to the Creator to be converted into a legal fiction defendant in this fiction court. And I'd give them 15 seconds to answer, and if they don't answer affirmatively, I would tell them that they are in agreement with what I said by default, and I'm out of here.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715, again, 888-211-1715, or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you really thought about what comes out of your faucets and into your body? Is it city water full of chlorine or unpurified well water? Do you think sterilized bottled water is safe? The right quality water has everything to do with your health. Not just quality, Kangen water. Alkaline, anti-aging Kangen water from Future Aqua is revolutionizing the health industry. This Japanese technology turns your acidic, contaminated, and chlorinated tap water into healthier alkaline water that can do wonders to your body. When your body pH is acidic, you are susceptible to illness and disease. When your body pH is alkaline, you virtually can never get sick. The benefits of Kangen water is incredible. It helps slow the aging process. It promotes healthy weight loss. It boosts the body's immunity against disease. It increases the absorption of important vitamins, minerals, and protein. It's just an amazing water. Find out more. Visit futureaqua.com. That's futureaqua.com. Change your water. Change your life with Kangen water from futureaqua.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Hey, folks, in case you haven't noticed, the rumor mill continues concerning a number of people. I think the conflagration of elements at the moment, the various seminars that are being offered, has really got people nervous. A friend sent me an email. I'm going to presume it was tongue-in-cheek, and he said, "Hey, Sam, is it true you're a woman?" And I appreciated that. Only in my dreams, folks. So just to wrap up on this particular topic and put it in perspective, I would stick to the counterclaim. If I had very little experience, I would just be very calm and businesslike. It's strictly business. Are you not in possession of the counterclaim? Is the court not in possession of the counterclaim? If the judge says, "Well, I don't understand this," then you help the judge. Well, you certainly can take a recess for a couple of weeks, because I would not want to see you unwittingly accept any unnecessary liability for not adjusting the account or for failing to post the payment, sir. "Well, I don't understand that." Well, sir, I'm not going to explain it to you other than to say, I believe, is this court not in possession of evidence that the funds have been placed in escrow with the Department of Treasury on your behalf? Is it your position that you don't understand how to access those funds?
Because if that's the case, then let's get someone in here who does. I don't want to see you accept any unnecessary liability. I would be warm and I would be friendly and I would be understanding and not intimidated, and leave it up to him to get out of hand. Leave it up to him to cast the first stone. Leave it up to him to have a sour attitude or raise his voice. There's always time then to respond. Well, sir, if you order me to confess, let's say you've asked him, is he ordering you to confess to being a United States person? You certainly can follow it up and say, if you order me to confess to being a United States person, then you'll leave me no choice but to swear out a warrant in fact for your bond and order the bailiff to remove you from the bench for those high crimes against mankind. And if the bailiff refuses, I'll have no choice but to arrest him here and now for suborning, insurrection, or misappropriation, or piracy, or assault on a foreign official, or trafficking in slaves, or whatever the crime happens to be. You don't have to know the codes. You just have to know what is. So those are some of the points that I might consider, and I hope it's of benefit to you. Let's go to the phones again. Let's see. Bob in Connecticut, are you there?
Yes, Sam, I am. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for being patient, Bob. What can we do for you?
Hey, Doc, I'm actually going to be at your retreat, and I'm looking forward to it very, very much. I've kind of a newbie, but I
study hard, Bob. Study hard and prepare yourself. I don't want to see anybody wasting their time there, and it really could go over your heads quickly, although I intend to make it as palatable as possible. The instruments aren't hard to understand.
Yeah.
And then we're going to move into what I call BIC essence, which is the bare bones of how to make payment. And from there, we'll see what all the different documents are that can be added. And then we'll build upon that, sort of building blocks, moving on to Turbo and Dummies and BIC Suite, and then court versions of that if you want to hold private court, and private law merchant versions of that. So hopefully it'll be palatable, but study hard, please, Bob.
I have been. I'm listening to you all the time, and I'm doing an awful lot of reading. And anyways, I've got an issue that I've handled administratively for quite some time. I've got two liens on my home as a result of 941 trust fund recovery penalties that the IRS put on me directly. I've had my master file decoded, and on the master file, the most recent one that I just got, it had no lien 4 on it at all. So my individual master file did not show that there was a liability for the 941.
And is your intention to go in and argue with them about that?
No. So anyways, what I did is I faxed to a local, it's called Technical Service of the Lien Help Desk.
Yeah.
IRS.
Mm-hmm.
And so I faxed them, and I just basically faxed them the IMF, and then I also faxed them a request to, you know, release the lien based on the IMF. And they called me back, and I fully expected this, and they called me back. And first of all, let me say that I have already done the indemnity bond. I've already done the offset bond. And I have not written a bond of promissory note to them. I tried this first, but
yes,
I will in the very near future do that based upon what she comes back with.
What did she say?
But anyways, she is supposed to get back
to me. What was her response to you when she called you? What did she say? We need 30 days to investigate?
No. No, she said, well, I don't understand that either, sir. I don't know why it's not on your IMF. It should be, and something's not right. So she said, give me a couple of days, and I'll get back to you. So she's supposed to get back to me Monday or Tuesday.
And what is she going to tell you?
Well, to make a long story, I said to her at that point, I said, well, listen, you know, quite frankly, this should all be taken care of anyways, because then I have an indemnity bond on file with the Treasury, Secretary of Treasury, Henry Paulson, and I also have an offset bond there. I will give you those numbers if you so like right now. So I gave her the phone, the bond numbers, and she called me back and said that she had no record of those bonds.
Of course not.
Well, so what I'm asking you is, when I sent them, and I sent them, you know, a couple of months ago, is there any way that the government, the IRS, Mr. Paulson, whomever you want to say, would not have processed these things correctly?
I have no idea what happened to your bonds. I don't care what happened to your bonds. It's irrelevant what happened to your bonds, and that's where people get distracted. You, like many others, Bob, believe that a bond works because they take it and do something to their account. And I receive emails all during the week that say, well, how do I know if the bond is working? And wouldn't that be consistent with what you're asking me right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not going to release a log of these instruments. They're not going to alert IRS. They're not going to go down the list of accounts that you put there. I've put bonds in that have more than could be handled on two 15-inch pages, that many accounts listed. We had to squeeze them in with 8-point type. That's not the purpose of the bond. The purpose of the BIC bond is to be able to write a promissory note against the bond to deliver to the vendor, or to write a bond against the bond to deliver to the vendor, to provide a public policy face to what's already known, that the account is prepaid. That's all that it does. And if you fixate your mind on the transactions that have to happen at the other end, then you'll fail every time. It's not up to you to tell the clerk at Macy's how to do her job, how to work through her accounts, how to contact the other department, even though sometimes they'll put that onus upon you. It's up to you to enforce your payment under public policy. So I think, personally, it's premature. It's a worthwhile attempt to be able to get them to honor that original instrument, the indemnity bond, as payment in the account. But if it was me, I would make sure that any party that I was asking to do that had proof of payment in their hand.
Right.
And the method that we use for that is either a bonded promissory note or a bond specifically for that purpose, which you haven't seen. And I have never released the one that I use other than to a small handful of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others that are available as well. Bonds can be as simple as a one-sentence statement. Doesn't have to get real fancy, but a one-sentence statement that you are underwriting to indemnify or to pay all of the obligations in a particular account. And that would literally be the extent of the bond, because that's all a bond is. It's evidence of liability. And in a case like that, it's
specific
liability.
So when this person calls me back, would you suggest that I just say, look, why don't you send me a sum certain, or send me a statement of a sum certain of what you say I owe, and once I get that accepted for value, and then write the bond, the bond promissory note for that?
Don't you already have a sum certain? They have a lien on your account.
Yeah, well, the lien was from 2001 and another one in 2004.
It's still valid. They're good for 10 years.
Yeah, but now the sum certain is not what the lien says, because it's going to be interest on top of that.
All right, so you don't have a current statement.
No, not yet. Yes,
obviously. Obviously, to pay something accurately, it's helpful to have a current statement.
Yep.
Or we can take the statements that we have and we can accept them for value or make them payable to Treasury.
and overpay them using an instrument that is of sufficient value to cover the interest. But it sounds to me like your idea for, it sounds to me like you know the answer to your question, because the concept of requesting a settlement statement or a current assessment is certainly not foreign to me, and it doesn't sound like it's foreign to you, and it's probably not foreign to a lot of our readers.
Right.
I've heard it said in the past that that's difficult to get from them, but I'll tell you this. We've done that numerous times, numerous times. I've personally done that probably 15 or 20 times and never once been refused an assessment.
Right.
So it sounds like it would be a reasonable conversation when someone comes back and says, well, no, that lien, we've adjusted the individual master file to reflect that lien now, sir, so it's all correct. We say, well, very good. I tell you what, ma'am, would you please send me, I'd like to pay all of this. Would you please send me a statement within 10 days of the full liability for all tax periods so I can honorably resolve it? I wouldn't be mentioning promissory notes or anything else. And she may do that, or she may toss it in the round file, or someone along the way may toss it in the round file because they don't want it settled that way. They may not even understand that at the lower level. But if you treat them with the appropriate amount of information for their level, if you resist the urge to teach a 10-year-old about the birds and the bees, then you'll have a better chance of being successful at that level. I've found that agents at various levels have extraordinary power, and if we simply engage them at their level with that power and say, well, fine, I'll have payment in your hands. Can I send it to your attention?
Yeah.
That I'll have payment in your hands within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then you can often settle the account quite amicably that way, or transfer the liability to a live person, which is the key to settling accounts, holding someone accountable.
So you would suggest that I would, you know, have a dialogue with her, and that dialogue might be that she's going to send me this sum certain, and I would then honorably make payment for that sum certain by sending that back to her and not
no,
to...
No, I wouldn't make a suggestion what you should do. I
okay.
never do.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, though, that that's a reasonable approach that someone could take, is to request what the outstanding sum is. Isn't that the first thing you would do with a credit card company?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How much do I owe? Send it over to me, and I'll be happy to take care of it.
Right.
All right? That's an honorable way to approach these things. And let me also say that if you call up a company, you get a bill in and you get a statement of account, and there's a conflict, and you say, well, the statement of account from February says I owe no money, and now I see this charge in March. If you make that call 50 times, of those 50 calls, how many times will they tell you that the previous statement of account is correct or the new charge is correct?
They'll say it's correct all the time.
Right. So why bother calling and telling them that the IMF doesn't agree with the lien? Why not just ask for a settlement statement right up
right.
front and save yourself all the aggravation?
Right.
I said to you at the beginning, so you're going to be arguing with them about the IMF, and you said to me, no, I'm not.
Nope.
And then in the very next sentence you said to me, but I called them to tell them there was a conflict between the two.
Well, that was just a way to get to see if I could get the lien released easily by with that, or the next step was to get the sum certain. That's basically what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, but it is really... It may sound like that's what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
that you're looking for the easy way to settle this thing, but we just both agreed that 50 out of 50 times,
yep. Nope, you're right.
When there's a disagreement, it's going to come back negative. So all I'm suggesting is that we don't waste a lot of time arguing with IRS. They are there to settle it. There are some rogue agents. There are people there who don't know how public policy works, but that's why we bring to bear
The tax remedies, our knowledge of what we're doing, the ability to pay it, and our knowledge of public policy. So
right.
I think you know where you have to go with this.
I do.
All right.
I thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling, Bob. We'll see you at the meeting. And I don't mean to sound judgmental here. I'm just trying to wake people up that we can decode IMS all day long. People have been decoding IMS, what, since the 70s or late 60s? And we can engage them in dialogue about all of their process. But I can use Bob's call to make the point, I don't really care about all of their processes and inner workings. I don't care about their manual that instructs them how to deal with us. I don't care about what they do with the bonds when they get to Treasury. All I care about is paying the account and converting the liability. That's it. Simple. And then enforcing that strategy, and that's what we're going to bring to bear at the Law Merchant Retreat. Folks, don't go away. We're going to go back to the phones when we return. I hope to get to Guy in Virginia, and we'll be gone for a couple of minutes.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Looked up lately? Have you seen those crisscross trails that hang in the atmosphere long after a plane has passed over? Some are chemtrails, and they may be causing your health problems. It's a fact. Various governments, including the U.S., have been spraying chemicals in our upper atmosphere for years. Chemtrails is a very real cause of many health problems, like pain, respiratory, or immune deficiencies that appear seemingly out of nowhere. But now, your chronic illness can be helped. Introducing ChemBuster. ChemBuster is a natural remedy designed to combat and break through health problems caused by chemtrails. ChemBuster.us has more information and a special internet-only offer of just $17 per bottle. That's ChemBuster.us. Try ChemBuster yourself. Recommend to your sick friends and relatives, and after saving $2 on your first bottle, you'll save an additional $7 on your second bottle. Visit ChemBuster.us for important information and a special internet-only offer. That's ChemBuster.us.
Welcome back, folks. Time is very short. A couple things occurred to me about that last phone call. One thing that you might want to keep in mind, Bob, and others in a similar situation, is that when we return payment, we'll be returning it, we tend to return it with a Form 56. Now, we weren't doing that a year ago. Some were, very few, but I wasn't, and now we're doing that. And so that's the manner in which, by appointing the Secretary of the Treasury as our fiduciary, that is done with the express intention of having the Secretary resolve any conflicts
between the individual master file and what we're aware of, because we know there are all kinds of liabilities that have been attributed to the taxpayer in fiction, and so we give him the resource to be able to do that. We wouldn't necessarily want to explain that to anyone over the telephone, but we would include that with payment, and our letter would make it clear that that's its intended use. Also, those of you who may have received a return of any 1040s where you're seeking a refund, if they're threatening a frivolous penalty or something of that sort in the future, obviously, if they had the power to, they would have charged a frivolous penalty immediately. But I'm returning such things myself personally, and with a notification just to follow the affidavits already in their hand, those 1040s, process them and use the Form 56 as needed. However, let me say this. When we return items, we must return everything. Why do you think they send you a courtesy copy when they send you a return? They send you, here's a letter, CP, whatever, and here's a copy for your file, so that you'll keep the file, you'll keep the copy. Well, the copy is identical to the original. They're both originals. They're both copies. They're doing that so that you accept the presentment. You must return all copies, all brochures, all envelopes, in total, the same way attorneys do, or the same way IRS does when they return process. You'll notice they send everything back. They take that big 9x13 envelope, fold it around the outside, and send it all back to your paper clip. So keep that in mind. We only have a minute. Let's go to the phones. And we have a guy in Virginia. I'm sorry, it's down to the last minute, Guy. Welcome.
Okay, this is Guy. And I just had an eviction situation where it's coming up this 2 weeks from a trustee sale. And I think I got your answer. It's up to me to enforce my payment, which has been made.
Yes, it is. And go to the December 1st program, Guy, of 2007.
I've listened to
that. Pardon?
I've listened to that.
Yeah, that would be a source as to how we might approach something like that. I would be loaded for bear. 1099s, notaries, witnesses, further promissory notes, additional payments, copies of indemnity bonds. I'd even have copies of the law to put under their nose. They may get unpleasant copies of their law, their regulations with it, their law with a small L. Here's a copy of 31 CFR 103.11. Here's a copy of UCC 3-104. Is it your position that you're refusing to accept a qualified payment in violation of federal law? Foreign on the record in front of this witness from the governor's office or from the Secretary of State's office who's here to certify that. So that would be one way to approach it. Perhaps you can nip it in the bud if you go to the January 27th program and download one of those orders and serve it upon the sheriff and see what happens. I'm not telling you to do that. Yeah. That is not for everybody, but it's certainly something to be considered when a living man issues a writ of prohibition. Let it be known that we mean business. So that's something else to consider. Sorry for the bums rusher, Guy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Guy, is there a follow-up to that, as long as we have a few seconds left?
No. Okay. Not enough time.
All right. Well, good luck with it. I realize that's a difficult position to be in. Folks, thousands and thousands of foreclosures around the country as the system collapses. I heard a financial expert just yesterday talking on the phone that if Bear Stearns had not been rescued, the entire system would have collapsed. We know a collapse is in the cards, and that's when our message will be heard. Thank you for joining me. Can't say it was a wonderful program, but I hope